There is a provision in the Constitution that allows the President to pardon people who've been convicted, and the section appears to be unrestricted in the sense that it doesn't prevent the President pardoning himself or herself. So if the Speaker is standing in the shoes of the President, the Speaker has power to perform all the President's functions. So on the face of the Constitution, it seems to be allowed, extraordinary though it may be.
So there is no way back for the judge presiding over this case? She's literally had the legal rug pulled from under her feet?
Well, that remains to be seen. So on the face of the Constitution, it is possible to do this. On the other hand, obviously, you can ask yourself, are there any legal arguments, more subtle legal arguments, that might enable this decision to be attacked? Is there an argument based, for example, on separation of powers, which has already been called in aid here? Or is there some sort of argument based on bias? The principle that says that a person may not be judge in his own cause, which is certainly the case with the acting president here.
What is interesting is that the one MP who was on trial who actually pleaded guilty isn't covered by this pardon. Do you have any theories as to why that might be?
I don't know why that might be at all. But I do think that there are some deeper questions here. I mean, the first question is whether this can be dealt with by a court and whether it can be overturned and what would be the consequence of doing that. But if the answer to that is no, which might be the case, because the prerogative of mercy is a strange, antique sort of power, if the answer to that is no, then there's a big question in Vanuatu about how you handle questions of bribery and what the recourse is against someone like the Speaker who, when he's performing the role of acting president. The President himself is liable to impeachment, but the acting president is not liable to any kind of removal along those lines.
So what we have, in theory, or if not in practice, is a situation where the voters in Vanuatu might be saying, well, an enormous amount of time and money has been spent on this trial, and unless the verdict was not guilty, this was always going to happen, and the whole process was a complete waste of time.
Well, they might well, and even looking further beyond that, they might say, well, what is the remedy for this sort of behaviour in Vanuatu if the ordinary court processes are not allowed to work?
And presumably from an international perspective, there is no action that could be taken by an international body. They plainly don't have the right to interfere in the sovereign constitution of any other country. But internationally, as Tony Wilson was telling us, countries are looking on and thinking, what on earth is going on in Vanuatu?
Well, of course, that's true. This is an entirely domestic matter within Vanuatu. But it's up to the people and the leaders in Vanuatu to consider whether this is in the best interest of the country.
How shocked are you by what has happened? As someone who is an expert in the field, I mean, can you think of any similar incidents in other Pacific countries over the years that match this?
Well, not precisely along these lines, although I might say that there have been previous episodes affecting the prerogative of mercy in Vanuatu, including one in 2004, I think, when a president actually declined to pardon himself using this very self-same power. So there is a bit of a history of dealings with this power in Vanuatu. But there are some other very odd episodes elsewhere in the Pacific, as I'm sure you know. For example, in Nauru, the indefinite suspension of a significant number of opposition members from the parliament is something else that I think is a matter for serious concern.